Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, on this most holy morning, in which our Lord Jesus passed over from death to life, we are gathered here in vigil and in prayer. This is the Passover of the Lord, in which, by hearing his word and celebrating his sacraments, we share in his victory over death. Let us pray. O God, you are like a refiner's fire, and your spirit enkindles the heart of your faithful people with the fire of your love. Bless, we implore you, this new flame and those who keep this joyful Easter festival, that burning with desire for life with you, we may be found rightly prepared to share in the feast of light which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. His are time and eternity. His are the glory and dominion, now and forever. By his wounds we have healing, both now and forever. Amen. May the light of Christ, who is risen in glory from the dead, scatter all the darkness of our hearts and minds. We pray. Almighty and most merciful God, pour out on us your abundant blessing, that all who in true faith share this day in joyful celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead may be filled with your heavenly benediction. Once we were in darkness, but now we are in the light, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O light of Christ, thanks be to God. The light of Christ, thanks be to God. The light of Christ, thanks be to God. Rejoice now, all you heavenly choirs of angels. Rejoice now, O creation, sound forth trumpet of salvation, and proclaim the triumph of our King. Rejoice to all the earth, in the radiance of the light now poured upon you, and made brilliant by the brightness of the everlasting King, know that the ancient darkness has been forever banished. Rejoice, O Church of Christ, clothed in the brightness of this light. Let all this house of God ring out with rejoicing. with the praises of all God's faithful people.
O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Paschal Lamb, who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world, who was crucified for our transgressions and raised for our justification, who foretold your passion, saying, "The Son of Man must be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Who destroyed death by dying, and by rising to life again, brought life and immortality to light. Whose resurrection was first announced by an angel to the women. Who appeared to Mary Magdalene and was worshipped by her. Who revealed yourself to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road and made yourself known to them in the Scriptures and in the breaking of the bread. Who appeared to the disciples, bestowing on them your peace and your spirit. Who showed your wounded hands and side to the Apostle Thomas that he too might believe. Who appeared to seven disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, bringing a miraculous catch of fish. Who appeared to Peter and to the 12, to over 500 disciples, to James and to all the apostles, and to Paul on the Damascus Road. Who commissioned your church to make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching them. By your glorious resurrection from the dead. By your victory over sin and death. By the majesty of your risen body. We poor sinners implore you. That we may daily die and rise with you in our baptism and walk in the freedom of your forgiveness. That we may set our minds on things above and not on earthly things, serving others as we have been served by you. That we may dwell with you forever in the new creation as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem, together with all the saints. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you made this most sacred morning to shine with the glory of the Lord's resurrection. Preserve in us the spirit of adoption which you have given, so that, made alive in body and soul, we may serve you purely. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Exodus chapters 14 and 15. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. All of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, and not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the Scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the destroyer of death. Amen. You may be seated. Everything had come unraveled. There were a lot of good times for Jesus and his followers. Ministry up north in the region of Galilee was fairly decent overall. The band of merry travelers was pretty popular, thanks to Jesus, healing the sick, calming storms, feeding thousands, casting out demons, even raising the dead, and keeping the religious leaders on their toes. Jesus was, after all, amazing. A couple of times each year, they headed south into the Judean region, in the holy city of Jerusalem. But conflict was more intense there in the south of Jesus' ministry, for he did not match up with the vision of the Jewish leaders. If Jesus was indeed the Christ, the long-appointed one, he was not the Christ they had wanted. And so Jesus predicted his upcoming suffering and death at the hands of the Jerusalem leadership. But that would only happen if Jesus went there, down into the south to Jerusalem, and let it happen. And Jesus' friendship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus put him back into that vicinity of the holy city. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead after he had delayed long enough to allow Lazarus to die. Even though the religious leaders now for sure wanted Jesus dead and made it known to all the people, the Lord proceeded to enter into Jerusalem and in the sight of all the people. On the back of a donkey, he entered into Israel's holy city, the city of David, and they shouted out, "Lord, save us now! Hosanna!" So far, so good, this entrance into Jerusalem. But Jesus' cleansing of the temple created a scene, and havoc ensued. Jesus continued to teach in the temple courts and hallways, as he had his sights set on the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus continued to teach over the next few days, and the favor of the crowds disappeared. After celebrating the Passover with his disciples during that great Holy Week, chaos arrived. Judas, one of his own disciples, betrayed him, handing him over to the temple guards. Fearing then for their own safety if Jesus could be arrested, his disciples kept their distance. Peter denied ever knowing the man. And off the Lord went to the headquarters, deep within the bowels of the Roman Empire there in Jerusalem, headquarters of Pontius Pilate. He did not help himself against the false accusations against him, Jesus choosing only to speak the truth. Pilate found no guilt in Jesus, but was content to allow the crowd their wish. Jesus' followers watched on then from the sidelines as Jesus was treated like a rogue terrorist. He was brutally flogged and taken outside of the city walls. Out there amongst the place of the skull, Golgotha by name, where many other traitors were taken, Jesus was crucified. The followers of Jesus watched in horror as their whole entire world came crashing down around them. So much time had been spent following Jesus in and out of all of the villages in Israel. The supposed Christ, only to have it end in tragedy. After 3 hours of midday darkness, the great Jesus was dead, truly dead.
Some of his followers watched as his body was taken down from the cross, lifeless completely. They trudged along the way to the tomb that belonged to a wealthy Sanhedrin member. They watched as a large stone was put into place, covering over the entrance to the tomb. Nothing more could be done that day. That day which would indeed be followed by the Sabbath, which was so close at hand. And you know, that dreaded feeling of waiting in a time of sadness and grief. Now what do? Your master has just died. It did not seem right to simply try to go about your business like nothing had happened. And you would like to get things back to normal at some point, but just not yet. Final preparations needed to be made for the celebration of the Sabbath so that no work would be done that day accidentally and put them in violation of the Jewish law. And any sleep that they might get that night and the next would be fitful at best. The women who were so devoted to Jesus did know that they had one more task. They would return to the tomb at Sunday's first light, the Sabbath having ended. They would get to see their Jesus one final time, to care for his body one final time. And in the rays of the early morning sun, Mary Magdalene and the rest made their way back to Jesus' tomb. The large stone must still be in place, and who would be able to move it aside for them, they thought, as they traveled. They walked along in sadness. The three sad days were finally over, but many more must follow. Their expectations were only so normal, walking to that tomb, and what they went there to see was still death. The word of Jesus about his upcoming resurrection had not risen to the surface of his disciples. Not a one of them looked forward in joy to that Sunday morning. These followers of Christ were the longtime descendants of the children of Abraham. And their ancestors had been set free from harsh slavery in Egypt by God, working through his servant Moses. They rejoiced greatly in their freedom, only to have their hope squelched by the ominous Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army had changed their minds, had come back for them to take them back into custody, into harsh slavery. The Israelites had come out of certain death in Egypt only to find certain death in the desert. Even with the great signs that God himself had performed through Moses, the people feared for their lives. Yet God is never done doing his work for his people, never done caring for his people. And through Moses again, God parted the Red Sea and brought his children safely to the other side on dry ground. Pharaoh and his whole host were drowned in that sea and would never bother the people of Israel again. A similar dread was upon the very followers of Jesus. They had hope in the Lord Jesus, only to have it snatched away from them at his death. If Jesus could not avoid death, if Jesus could be killed, what chance did they stand? But oh, what wonder filled their eyes, the eyes of those women, as the tomb of Jesus finally came into sight. The stone that had been so laboriously set against the opening was no longer there. Soldiers who had been sent to guard the tomb, protecting it from grave robbery, were unconscious, like dead men on the ground. Entering into the burial chamber, no body of Jesus could be seen. The linen cloths that had wrapped him were empty, the one cloth covering over his sacred face folded up neatly by itself. So odd, so strange. Peter and John had come to the tomb at Mary's request, but they could not grasp any of what they were seeing. Remaining there at the tomb, two angels appeared to the women. "Why are you weeping? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. See the place where they laid him. Could it be? Could Jesus really be alive? Well, the angels should know, right? Not long after that, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene directly outside the tomb. And so it was indeed true. Sweet Lord Jesus himself, indeed, he was alive, even though he had truly died. His word of promise to them was true, just as he said. And they should have known it all along, that word of God that was present within them, but the burdens of this life, the darkness of sin and unbelief kept their faith at bay. But not for long. Jesus had certainly raised others from the dead, but would they go on to live forever in this broken and sinful world? Not likely. But what about Jesus? Would he one day die again as well? That was yet to be seen for the disciples of Jesus at that time, but you and I, we already know that answer. Jesus had said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Even though Jesus had died, he now lives. Sin has been fully paid for by his death upon the cross. The full payment for our salvation has been made. And it cannot be unmade. It cannot be unfinished. It cannot be or come undone. For Jesus need never die again. He can never die again, and he will never die again. For he has defeated death once and for all. And you who believe in him, who are baptized in his sacred resurrected name, shall overcome death as well. Now, in Christ, for you, the only thing to come unraveled is your death, as you rise again to new life with Jesus, when he comes again in his great resurrection glory on the last day. Amen. A peace that passes all of our human understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
We stand for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For a holy fear at the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we would tremble no longer before the grave, but rejoice and live in the truth of his power to save, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Church, that by God's Spirit we would hold fast to the word preached to us, and receiving it with joy, take our stand in it and be saved by it, and that God would hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, granting us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who make and administer our laws, that God would frustrate the forces of evil and not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. And for our armed forces and first responders, as they stand watch for us here and abroad, that they would serve with honor and integrity, let us pray to the Lord. For all the sick and those who are in any need, that the dawning light of the new creation in Christ would sustain them in faith, and that, according to God's will, they would be granted renewed health as a foretaste of their eternal healing in him, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who mourn, that the truth of Christ's empty tomb would comfort them, and that in the midst of their grief they may abide in the hope of his resurrection until the day when God wipes away every tear from their eyes, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We join this day in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. We bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. After his resurrection, Jesus came and stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world?
Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Our Lord says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies."
And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.